We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From inside Camp Randall Stadium, Learfield IMG College presents Behind the Badgers, an exclusive look inside Wisconsin athletics. Here are your hosts, Patrick Herb and Brian Mason.
Welcome into our podcast. What a great weekend for Wisconsin sports that we are coming off. I'm Patrick Herb. With me, sitting next to me in the running backs room here in Camp Randall Stadium, as always, is Brian Mason, or he also goes by the title of Jonathan Taylor's personal PR flacky.
Hype man.
We do have AJ Taylor as our interview today. What a great conversation we had with him. He tells us about he's got a burgeoning acting and directing career.
And screenwriter.
Yeah, fascinating conversation that he's got these hidden talents that we are going to show you how you can watch a movie that he has starred in and written and directed.
We're going to tell you anyway. I mean, you can't show them. This is a podcast.
Well, you can go to his Instagram.
Yeah, that's Kelly. She's our producer.
Hi.
She's also now infamous in our circles for being a dancing bear. Remember last week we talked to you about the teddy toss at Wisconsin hockey and how they were going to throw the teddies on the ice as part of a fundraiser to the BMO Harris Bank teddy toss. Part of the promotion for it.
No, we didn't throw Kelly on the ice.
But
that would have been,
Kelly,
would have been funny.
Kelly, who's turning red right now as we're talking about her. Kelly was soldier enough, and thank you for doing this, for she jumped in one of the teddy bears. They tell us how did they tell us about it?
Well, I got a text from my boss asking if I'd be willing to do this. And as you know, someone who loves her job very much, I'm always willing to do whatever it takes. So here's why I got asked. I'm one of the shortest members on this staff.
There it is.
You know, I'll put it out there.
You said it.
They took the stuffing out of one of those actual giant teddy bears and I had to crawl inside it.
This wasn't a teddy costume. This was an actual teddy bear that you crawled into.
Here's the thing. You can't breathe because it's not a costume.
Or see.
I couldn't see a thing. So I'm at the men's basketball game, and I was supposed to be playing like I was a real teddy bear and very still. And then Bucky was supposed to grab my hand when I was supposed to get up and start dancing. Well, Bucky just like kept bopping me on the head, so I didn't really know my cue. So I heard that song, the I Just Wanna Roll It, Roll It, Roll It, and I was like, that's my cue. So I got up and I danced my way onto the court, which I wasn't supposed to go onto, but I couldn't see. So I was just walking forward and ended up on the court.
Whoa, the court was not part of the plan?
No. I was supposed to stay right there, but I couldn't see anything, so I just walked forward. Well, team player. Danced forward.
Because the highlight of the whole thing for me was when the horn goes off after to end the timeout and you just start flailing your arms.
Oh,
like,
oh, I got out of character really quick. I was so panicked. I was like, someone's got to get me off the court. I can't see anything. And I could feel, because it was just the bare suit, so I could feel the court beneath my feet because I just had on my socks. And I was like, not great. Not great. But you know what? It was for a good cause and I was willing to do it and got it out there. And I can now say that I've danced on the court at the Kohl Center, which is weird. But
as a bear.
As a bear.
Okay, in case you don't know what podcast you're listening to, this is Behind the Badgers. We're a little off the rails here. We will have a great conversation with AJ Taylor. He's got his senior day coming up, and there's a lot of emotions with that. And he tells us about a team tradition that he's really going to miss when he graduates and leaves this program. But, yes, this is Behind the Badgers. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe, rate, review us. You can also give us some feedback. You can reach us on email, behindthebadgers@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, @BehindBadgers, or Instagram, @BehindTheBadgers. We love hearing from listeners and any suggestions on things you'd like to hear from us or guests that you'd like to hear us have a conversation with. Let's start with our trending topics. Let's look back to Saturday, Wisconsin's 7th consecutive win over Nebraska, the Freedom Trophy, back in the Badger locker room.
The only place it's ever been.
2 trophies secured now. There's a 3rd one out there looming, but for now, let's focus on Nebraska. And you talked about hyping Jonathan Taylor for postseason awards. He did some of his own
work. Sort of hypes himself. I mean, he's the first Badger to ever rush for 200 yards in a game against the same opponent 3 times. And he's got, not spoiler alert to jump ahead, he's got the chance to do it again against Purdue.
Yeah, Nebraska is going to be glad to see him leave this program whenever that day comes.
3 games, he averaged 225 yards a game and 7 touchdowns against the Huskers. So they will be happy to see him on his merry way whenever that time comes.
So one thing that has impressed me this season and certainly did in that game on Saturday about him is that he came in and he was a home run hitter, right? One of the fastest players on the team. And you have to watch every play because he could take anything to the house. And that's a reputation that he has earned and deserved and makes him so dynamic. He didn't do that against Nebraska and he still was able to rack up over 200 yards. His longest run in that game was 19 yards. So he did a lot of work in short yardage in between the tackles, pushing the pile, carrying defenders.
Yeah, it was yards after contact where he gained a big chunk of that 204 yards that he got.
Over half.
Yeah.
Over half of his yards in that game came after contact.
And Tyler Biotis talked about saying on the sideline to the coaches, like, keep feeding him between the tackles. Let's keep running inside because they were having so much success doing it.
Yeah, so that's another evolution of his game. We've talked about a few different things that have happened, receiving and being able to be a threat in the passing game. And this is one, too, now that he doesn't have to rely on getting that breakaway home run. They're still there, but he can be a durable between-the-tackles guy.
Yeah, it's not just about speed. He's powerful. And this was a grinded-out type of effort. And that's what the Badgers needed once again to put that game away, was to grind it out on the ground.
The game was also really impressive for me, watched from a vantage point of it was a team effort. That it took big plays on defense, special teams, offense. It came from all different areas, and that's not always the case this season where you get all 3 components clicking together, and you saw playmakers making plays, and particularly I'm pointing at the wide receiver group when I'm saying that you had A.J. Taylor spinning and making a terrific 55-yard touchdown catch. It had Aaron Cruikshank returning a kickoff. It had been a long time since we had seen a kickoff return at Wisconsin. And so you had a lot of these guys that we talked about it months ago, how this might be the most talented receiver group Wisconsin has seen in a long time. And Saturday kind of gave us that glimpse of like, yeah, there is a lot of talent in that group.
You had the big 4 all making big plays. I mean, AJ will talk about in our conversation how his running back instincts sort of kicked in on that long return and that long reception and how he was able to keep it going. But you had Danny Davis in the run game. He had 3 runs for 48 yards, including a big 17-yard one early to set up a score for the Badgers. Quintez Cephas, Kendrick Pryor each had 3 catches. Q with the big 4th down conversion on the drive that ended up being the go-ahead drive for the Badgers. So you got the big 4 involved, and then you talked about Aaron Cruikshank, a guy who's been waiting to bust loose on a kickoff return and was able to against the Huskers and went 89 yards to the house.
You know, maybe we should have seen it. For the first play, Wisconsin's first play of the game was a play-action pass. So here you've got Jonathan Taylor, who had put up back-to-back 200-yard games against Nebraska, and he is the identity of our offense. And Nebraska's probably thinking, okay, this is going to be a, you know, halfback dive, first play of the game. And they run play action pass out of it the first play. Maybe that was an indication that, okay, they want to get a lot of guys involved here and they want to spread this out as much as possible.
Yeah, there was a lot of options on offense, and the Badgers were able to put them all to use. Jake Ferguson made a big catch. I mean, you were able to use all your weapons, which offensively down the stretch of the season is good to see that this isn't just the Jonathan Taylor show. There's more to it, and the Badgers are finding ways to get those playmakers in space to make plays. But for me, I also thought, you know, you talked about it, the team win. What the defense was able to do in big moments was huge. I mean, they had their struggles. There were plenty of missed tackles. There was a ton of yardage given up to Nebraska for the second straight year. But you had 3 fourth down stops that came deep in UW territory, including 2 in the fourth quarter. It ended up being huge as Nebraska's trying to keep pace and draw in late. I mean, you had the
second week in a row, we had a safety making a hit on the quarterback right,
at the
goal line.
At the 1 yard line, yeah.
To preserve the game.
Reggie Pearson at the end. And you had another one where, you know, Zach Bond made a huge stop of Adrian Martinez on fourth down to kill that drive. And those were chances that Nebraska had to tighten that game up. And when the defense needed to, you know, it was definitely a bend, not break sort of effort from those guys.
I want to give shouts to Reggie Pearson. 10 tackles in that game.
Yeah, and career high.
And he kept having to come in and out of the game with this nagging shoulder problem that he's had since high school. That's a tough son of a gun to be able to put that effort. And then at the last play of that game, to be able to just sell out and smash Adrian Martinez to keep him out of the end zone. That kid has guts.
And he's a guy who only plays one way. He only plays 100 miles an hour. Like there is no half speed for Reggie. So if he's in the game, you've seen it. He's proven it this year. He's going to give you everything he's got on those plays. And the Badgers need it on that last drive.
Are we worried a little bit about the tackling?
Sure.
So this is not the first time.
Sure.
And in the beginning of the season, we were talking the opposite. How solid this defense, how fundamental, how they're not missing any tackles through those first 5 games when they were shutting everybody out. That was the storyline. Now there's been a little bit of seepage in there. And so is that a conversation with the team?
It's an easy equation to look at. Okay, Illinois tried to spread the Badgers out and had some success and forced missed tackles in space. Nebraska did the same thing. Well, here comes Purdue that's going to probably, especially coming off a bye week where they've had a whole extra week to prepare for this game.
Like Nebraska just did.
Exactly. They're going to try to do the same thing to the Badgers. So is there concern? Absolutely. But I thought Chris Orr said it after the game, like our issues are fixable. They're things, they're being in the right spot. They're having the right technique to make a tackle. It's not some systemic issue of we don't know what we're doing on defense to try to slow them down.
We don't have the talent to be in the right spot. Yeah.
It's a matter of, hey, in the moment, you've got to be in the right spot and you've got to make the play.
I got a kick out of Chris Orr on the sidelines during the game. I often hang out behind the bench trying to listen in on what guys are saying. And after the interception, the Jack Sanborn interception that Chris Orr tipped at the line of scrimmage, and he used his entire height, his whole frame to get that, he came back to the bench and was telling everybody that would listen near him, which was nobody. Nobody was listening to him, but that doesn't stop him from talking.
Never.
About how he was all 6 feet. That was 6 feet. He's 6 feet tall, and that's why he was able to get that, which he's listed as 6 feet in the program. I'm not sure he's really 6 feet tall.
Hey, I as the guy who lists the heights in the program, I will defend that he is right there at 6 feet.
We talked last week how he's not short. He's gifted with leverage.
Gifted with leverage.
Yes. So he used his 6 feet of leverage to tip that pass. I got a kick out of that.
And you talked again, the team win idea. I think there's a shout out for the special teams beyond just Aaron Cruikshank's 89 yard kickoff return. You had Colin Larch going 3 for 3 on field goals in a place that out on the prairie there in Lincoln, basically the wind can wreak havoc for kickers. That's a place
blowing.
That's tough. And you know, he hit all 3 of his, and then the kickoff unit as a whole, Zach Hintz has been the touchback machine all year.
He put one in the crowd.
He did.
He put one into the stands.
Yes.
One of his kickoffs.
The guy needs to work on his hands. He wasn't able to hang on to it, but I mean, the Huskers had some return opportunities. They had 3 chances at returns, and they averaged 8.7 yards on those runbacks. So
Lottie pinned a
great
punt
unit
inside the 5, didn't he? He had a punt that checked out of bounds inside the 5.
Yeah, I mean, it was for a unit that has had its ups and downs on the year. It was a really good day for the special teams.
The low light, maybe. We stayed at the Graduate Hotel as a team in Lincoln, Nebraska. Fine hotel. I took exception with the interior design in the Graduate Hotel.
A little kitschy for your taste?
A lot kitschy for my taste. They The wallpaper in the bathrooms and the curtains in the bedrooms were corn, ears of corn. I mean, you talk about leaning into your stereotypes. Holy smokes. That place was, they weren't made out of corn.
But
the design was corn.
And the carpet was plaid.
Yeah.
It was an interesting place.
Graduate hotels are cool. I'm not diminishing that.
No, but it
makes me want to go into some of the rooms at the one here in Madison and wonder, is it like, do they have cheese curtains?
I don't know how much they lean into Madison.
Somebody who stayed there, tweet at us and let us know. Are the curtains cheese decorations in the graduate in Madison? All right, we should move on.
Let's move on. All right. Trending topic number two. The race is on for the Big Ten West.
Officially. Yeah, it is.
Badgers got a little bit of help from the Hawkeyes, who were, you know, the Badgers were playing Hawkeye fans there for a minute. We are not the first guys on the plane. I'm sure, will be shocked to learn that the guys that ride bus 4 don't get on the plane first. So as we're walking up the steps to board the plane, I hadn't at least been paying attention to the score in that game. And I'm greeted as I'm ready to walk on board with this huge cheer, and the Hawkeyes had just scored in the game. And so you had a lot of guys on that plane. A lot of the players and staff were taking advantage of the live satellite television that we have access to follow that one.
Delta Airlines for satellite TV on the airplane.
That was huge. So what it means for the Badgers is here we go. Two games to go and a shot to win the West. And you got to beat Purdue this Saturday and then hopefully come down to a winner-take-all game in Minneapolis next week to decide who goes to Indianapolis.
A week ago at this time, Wisconsin needed help. They needed to win games, and they needed help. They needed Minnesota to lose another game to be able to control their own path to the championship.
Check.
Now two of those things have happened. They beat Nebraska. Minnesota lost a game. Now Wisconsin controls its own destiny, I guess. That's the term that people throw out.
I take exception with that. But control your own path. I like how you stated it that way. Yeah.
To the Big Ten title game. And so now Purdue is the next challenge standing in their way. This is a banged up Purdue team.
They've dealt with more than their share of injuries, no question.
They have several guys who their status is unknown for this weekend. Some of their feature players, Rondale Moore being one of them. I wouldn't be sad if the Badgers didn't have to face Rondale Moore.
I think
he had a huge game against him last year.
He could probably use another week to come back from that injury.
I think so too.
He's a consensus All-American. He's a game-changing dynamic player. So he had nine
catches for 114 yards and two touchdowns last year.
If he could stay on the sideline, that'd probably be okay by the Badgers.
He's missed the last six games with a hamstring injury, and just this week, Jeff Brown, their coach, said, his quote was, "I can't be truly optimistic about him playing." So it's a little bit coy that you don't know, and maybe we'll learn more as the week goes on, or maybe they're not going to give any injury reports here, and we'll have to wait till game time to see. But either way, he's not the only player that's out. They've had a lot of issues.
Lorenzo Neal, their
big quarterback,
big defensive tackle. Yep. He hasn't played since the Indiana game last year towards ACL, so he's on the way back. And Elijah Sindelar, the quarterback, sounds like he won't go, so they'll be down to third string quarterback.
Rough year for Purdue. Wisconsin's beaten them 13 straight times, but this is a dangerous Boilermakers team, and the series lately has been closer than what a 13-game win streak might indicate.
Yeah, 2 years ago here at Camp Randall ends up being a 17-9 game that maybe wasn't as tight as the score indicated, but it was a one-score game. I mean, it was tighter than the Badgers expected going in.
It's the only game of the Jeff Brom era where Purdue has not scored a touchdown.
Interesting.
So there you go. Read that this week.
And then you go, and then you fast forward to last year, and it turned into an epic in West Lafayette, where the Badgers had to come from 14 down on those two great catches, the connections from Jack Cohn to Danny Davis to tie the game up, force overtime, and it becomes this 3-0 thriller that Jonathan Taylor wins it in the end for the Badgers, racked up that 321-yard career-high rushing total. So there's no reason to think that, you know, this isn't going to be a tight game. This is a Purdue team that just beat the Nebraska team that Wisconsin saw last week.
Right. But you hope it's not going to be. You hope that Wisconsin's going to be able to exert their will and Jonathan Taylor's going to be able to run all over him like he's done the last two times. You mentioned that he can go for over 200 for the third straight time against
Purdue. That'd be okay. Yep.
Which would be ridiculous. And he has 540 yards and four TDs in two games against Purdue, which is eye-popping stats. But you hope that Wisconsin will be able to take care of business in a game that they will go into it feeling like, if we do what we do well, we'll be fine.
Yeah, from a big picture standpoint, I mean, if Wisconsin can win and set up that game in Minneapolis next week to be, like I said, winner take all, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that'll be fun. But also this Saturday is also senior day, which comes with mixed emotions for everybody.
Definitely.
It's a it's the final time that those guys get to run out of Camp Randall Stadium. It's the final time that they get to hear the home crowd give them rounds of applause. And it's bittersweet because we say goodbye. There's more games to play. We understand
right.
that.
It's not an end.
No.
But it is a type of end.
And it's also the beginning of the end. It kind of reminds you that, the season is just about over. So I think that we're 13, 14 seniors this year?
13 seniors, yep.
And so they'll be recognized pregame.
Mm-hmm.
They'll run out on the field with and meet their parents and family and whoever guests are in town for them. And
yeah,
we talked to AJ Taylor about it too. And they have traditions for home games. And so this is the last time that they're going to go through some of those traditions. And
yeah, it's always interesting to hear what are the things
we made him sad in the conversation.
Yeah. What are the things that guys are going to miss? And you know, I brought up something that he hadn't even thought about missing yet. But so that's like I said, it's not an end, but it is an end to their career at Camp Randall, and that means something. So compartmentalizing those emotions, dealing with that, and then getting into the game, that can be challenging.
Is it too early to look at bowl games and the bowl picture and where Wisconsin might be playing in a bowl game?
No, I mean, at this point, you're far enough into the season where you can probably start to get a feel for what some of the options might be.
And eliminate some.
Yeah, but it's probably too early because there's a lot of dominoes still to fall in how the last couple weeks of the Big Ten season and who goes to the Big Ten championship game and how all that stuff shakes out, because you've got a lot of quality in this league. You know, from Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, you've got a lot of teams that will sort of be jockeying for either the Rose Bowl, which is still in play, the New Year's Six games that a Big Ten team can go to, like the Orange Bowl, Cotton Bowl potentially this year. And then you start getting into Citrus Bowl, Outback Bowl, Holiday, and sort of down the tiers of what the conference's bowl arrangements are.
So educate me on this. So the Big Ten has kind of alliances with bowl games. And at the end of the season, they will stack the Big Ten teams.
Sort of stack
the Big Ten teams and start slotting them into bowls. And so that when you're talking about the depth of the league, that's where you're saying that even a 10-2 record by a Big Ten team, you might be third in the pecking order because there's so much depth.
Correct.
Or fourth or something.
Right, yeah. So it's sort of hard at this point to figure out who's going to go where. And then there are other factors that come into play, like, you know, in this bowl agreement, the six-year deal that we're in right now, which this is the last year of it, and so some of the bowl alignments and alliances are going to change a little bit moving into next season. But like Penn State, for instance, played in the Citrus Bowl last year. They won't go to the Citrus Bowl again in back-to-back seasons. So there's things to consider there that it's not necessarily a where do you fall in the ranking based on wins and losses. There are some other forces at play as to where you might end up.
And so Wisconsin doesn't play Penn State this year unless they face them in a Big Ten title game, but they're sort of competing with them for
a bowl slot.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And a Michigan.
Or a Michigan team that Wisconsin defeated.
Right.
You know, already. So, again, like I said, that's probably why there's too many dominoes to fall yet to decide what the most realistic options are.
Okay, I'll ask you about it again next week.
All right, sounds good.
Trending topic number three, Wisconsin basketball, huge win on Sunday, reclaimed the state of Wisconsin in the bragging rights. No, they actually have to play Green Bay and Milwaukee yet, so maybe they don't have the entire state yet. But they got bragging rights over Marquette, and that was certainly the most impressive performance of the season for Wisconsin.
It was fun.
To date. It was one of the better games I've watched a Wisconsin team play in the Kohl Center. It goes down in one of the better wins in Greg Gard's career, I would say, from a regular season game.
It was an exciting game, even if you take the rivalry aspect of it out. I mean, I think it was a well-played game on both ends of the floor for the Badgers, but you throw that rivalry mix in there, and
it was what you want in a rivalry
game. It was physical. I loved the backdrop of it's the whiteout in the Kohl Center, and here comes Marquette wearing black jerseys for the first time ever. Like, okay, we're gonna ride into town as the villain, you know?
Yeah, and they held them till the very last second.
Yeah.
Even their PR guy was coy with me pregame about what color they're wearing. I was asking, I said, "You guys wearing blue today?" And he's like, "Ish." That's okay. All right. I see. That's fine.
A little gamesmanship. Yeah, that's cool. But no, I did. I thought it was everything you want a rivalry game to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And the emotions of the Kohl Center were, the Kohl Center had a pulse.
It was great.
Sunday. It was really good. The whiteout kind of gave it some juice. And then the team started fast, which helped. You know, they were scoring early, which gets the crowd engaged right away. And it was a balanced effort. Wisconsin offensively, defensively, emotionally. It was an impressive performance. Was it a good performance by Bill Raftery and Brian Anderson on the call? You got to sit next to them and do stats for them.
I was working with those guys.
That's a fun team to work with.
I lost track of how many times Brian Anderson said this is an underappreciated rivalry. You know, like because he's called it now for a number of years in a row on the Fox or FS1.
And Raftery's had it once before,
yeah,
too.
So a ton of respect for the rivalry among those guys. But yeah, they were. It was fun to
classic
take in
calls.
A game. Yeah, with Raf sitting there and the Minutemen and all, you know, his all the things he does. That was a lot of fun. But mainly, it was just a great game.
I'm a big Bill Raftery.
He's
fan.
Awesome. Yeah,
BA too, I suppose. But
I mean, when it comes in and you've got an opponent that's very star driven in Marcus Howard, he's going to take up a lot of the sort of the airtime and what you're thinking about. And for the Badgers to shut him down really gave B.A. and Raf something to talk about. I mean,
yes, shut him down in the second half.
Correct.
He got going in the first half at 16 of the half, and you thought, oh, man, this is what he can do.
Here we go.
Yeah.
This is the script you expected.
He can put 30 on you without losing sleep.
Right.
And
2 points
second half. Yeah, 0-for-9 from the field. Shouts to Demetric Trice chasing him everywhere, and a couple other guys guard him too. Davison and had him at times. King had him. Tyler Wall had him some. But Trice did the yeoman's work on him and was – he was tired after the game.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, as much as it was a great balanced offensive performance for Wisconsin, what impressed me was how the defense set the tone for everything. And it obviously it's all through the lens of what you can do against Marcus Howard, because forcing him to miss his last 11 shots certainly changes what Marquette is able to do offensively. But, yeah, in a physical game, I thought the defense was what really set the tone.
Held Marquette to 37% shooting, so this is a Marquette team that had just beaten Purdue. And Marcus Howard had outscored Purdue in the second half by himself.
Right.
And so Marquette's defense had shut Purdue's water off. And here Wisconsin put up 77 points on them, too. So Wisconsin was clicking, hit 11 three-pointers. You had three-pointers from seven different players, seven different guys. That's the balance and the depth that we have thought.
Here's the team Patrick Herb's been talking to me about all offseason. Yeah.
It's in there somewhere.
Right.
No, they did show their potential and they proved their potential on Sunday that's the type of team that they can be, where they don't have to be Ethan Happ centric or one player dominant, one star player. You had six different players scoring double figures and your leading scorer was an unlikely candidate. Brevin Pritzel comes away with 15 points.
How about Brevin
13
Pritzel?
Rebounds. He was awesome. He was fantastic. And here's a kid, fifth-year senior, who has had a lot of ups and downs in his career. I mean, he did not even attempt a field goal in the first game against St. Mary's. Played over 20 minutes, didn't attempt a field goal. Had games where he had an 0-for-9 game at Maryland a couple years ago. So he's had some ups and downs. And here he gets basically a curtain call in the Kohl Center with
awesome
the student section chanting MVP. I felt really happy for him.
He was awesome. And, you know, you think of him as this scorer, but what he did
think of him as a shooter.
As a shooter, right. Yeah. But what he did on the boards was worthy of praise enough. I mean, 6 offensive rebounds. He had 13 overall. Even if he scored 5 points, it would have been a great performance for him.
And the takeaway for Greg Gard in the locker room was this is a great case study for younger players, that it didn't take Brevin Pritzel hitting his first 3 3-pointers to get going in the game. You know, he got going by being active on the glass, scoring inside, getting to the free throw line. He scored 7 straight points at one time, and it wasn't just the 3-pointers that were going for him. He ended up hitting 3 of those, he had 2 of them, didn't he? He had 3 of them. Yeah, he had 3 threes in the game. But that wasn't the takeaway. Was like, oh, look at that. He lit him up from outside. He played a really balanced game, and that was encouraging to see.
Free throw shooting, too. Let's not forget. Cashing in on opportunities at the free throw line.
It's nice to have a good free throw shooting team again,
isn't
it? Yeah,
shooting 90% from the line. And I thought they just did a good job of capitalizing on opportunities, period. Making the turnovers that Marquette had, making them hurt. Getting out and scoring and getting points off turnovers.
Getting out and scoring. They ran some.
Yeah, and that was fun to see.
Greg Gard has teased that a little bit, that we might be a little more opportunistic, and they have an athletic team that they like to run with a little bit. And so you saw King and Trice and Davison and Ford all kind of getting out on the break a little bit. And the free throw shooting, that wasn't an anomaly, 18 of 20. On the year, they're shooting 82% as a team.
Something that needed to get better that has gotten better. That's what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's obviously a lot of it's getting better because you got rid of a couple of players, or not got rid of. You graduated a few players who struggled at the free throw line. Yeah. So now you've got a team that no matter what lineup you put on the floor, theoretically they can all shoot threes, they can all make free throws, and you can have that balance where you have 6 guys in double figures and nobody's more than 15.
So how do you bottle that? Because this, like you said, this is what we thought and hoped this team could be. How do you bottle that and keep it going?
Yeah, I mean, recreating that emotion and that, you know, that intensity for a rival game, that's a lot to ask for them to have.
You're not always
going to
have that.
Right, but the confidence that they can take from that, I think, is can't be understated. And it's a confidence from everybody that you had your top six players, even a guy like Tyler Wall, who struggled with foul trouble in this game, found little ways to contribute. We had that tap out and then hit the three in the corner. And that's a bonus. If Tyler Wall's hitting threes this year, that's a big bonus for this team, because I don't think they're expecting that kind of production out of him this year as a freshman.
We've talked all about there's so many shooters and there's points that can come from the outside. I think there are things that the Badgers can take away from this game and say, okay, these are some constants that we can do and apply to every game we play, so that when shots aren't falling, we can still give ourselves a chance.
We can get to the rim. We can take care of the ball. Yep. We can play defense, and we can swing the ball. Like, the ball is moving on offense this year more than it has in the last couple of years, and that's really encouraging. So,
I was glad to see a game where it wasn't just, okay, we won because we hit a lot of shots.
Absolutely.
There was a lot more to it than
sure.
that.
So Wisconsin's getting votes this week in the poll. They're getting back on that radar now. They took a big jump in the KenPom ratings after this win, and maybe more indicative, Marquette didn't fall much in the KenPom ratings from losing to Wisconsin. So that's a sign that it's thought of as a quality loss for Marquette. So now Wisconsin's got Green Bay on Thursday. Then they're going to go to Brooklyn for a couple games and have some challenges there too. So, yeah, let's see if they can bottle it up. But big-time encouraging sign for that program on Sunday. Enough of us talking. Let's get into this week's conversation. We're excited to have AJ Taylor in the chair, fresh off Wisconsin's big win at Nebraska. And the hero of the game, one of the heroes anyway, the longest touchdown pass Wisconsin has had since 2013. You surprised to hear that?
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised to hear that. That's insane.
That was a heck of a play, though. That was a fun game, wasn't it?
It was a fun game. I really think that this was an opportunity to get the offense to get rolling again. You know, we did it last week versus Iowa, and this was another chance to, you know, really just get the offense coming together and playing, and we just really rallied off each other, the defense, the offense, and the special teams.
So were you in control of that play the whole time, or was there a point where you were like, oh, wait, I'm still up, I can keep going?
You know, yeah, you always go on with a plan until something changes it. But, I mean, I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. It didn't, it didn't work out. But then, yeah, once I realized I was still up, I was like, okay, yeah, you can't stop now.
How many times you watch that play? Be honest.
A little close to like a million. No, I've seen that play a lot.
Your running back instincts took over, didn't they?
That's really what happened.
Because you got hit, had to spin, then cut back. Like, that was your presence. I'm not meaning to just like say you're awesome right now, but that's what I'm doing. No, your presence of mind in the moment to spin off that guy and then cut back to avoid the safety was running back instinct, looked like.
It really was. And I mean, I told coach after, I was like, yeah, I felt like I was a running back again, you know? But that's really kind of just what it was. You just react to what happens, and they didn't knock me down, so I'm going to keep going.
So where's that one rank for you in the touchdowns you've scored?
Up there. That's probably, that's one thing that I've been trying to do all season, all my career, is just have one of those touchdowns where you make something happen and run in. So, honestly, it's probably one.
Yeah. There's a big picture on the wall right outside this room of you catching another touchdown.
That was an important one. Yeah, that was a very important one. But when we're just talking about just like how it ranks, like personally and just like what I've been wanting to accomplish, it was this one. But that one, that one's up there. That's probably like two or three.
That was a big play. Game winner against Iowa last year.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then the Orange Bowl. That was a pretty big one, too. I like that one, too.
It starts to be a good thing when you can't quite decide which one's the best one. That means doing something. I
guess you're in a good position, yeah.
So you referenced that it was a team effort to win this game, and a lot of guys contributed. The running game at Wisconsin gets a lot of attention, and it should. JT's ridiculous. Yeah. But over the last few weeks, like you said, the wide receiver group, the passing game has started to contribute even more. Where do you guys feel as a room that you guys are starting to grow and contribute to and make this offense well-rounded?
As a room, I feel like, you know, all the guys, everybody's got tremendous potential, first off. Like, to AC, to Jack Dunn, to Adam Krumholtz, everybody's got like a crazy amount of potential and a crazy amount of athleticism. But we feel that we are a group of playmakers and that we are like, we can change the game. And our goal, one of our kind of goals, you know, innate goals, has been to show the coaches, show fans, show like everybody that's watching, that we can change the game and that we can make plays for us if, you know, JT gets stopped, even though it did not happen. It does not happen often. But, you know, that we can be valuable assets. And I think that's really kind of where that comes from. And we just always pride ourselves on being ready when our name is called.
We debated on this podcast if this wide receiver group, like where it ranks in Wisconsin history as far as collection of talent. And I don't expect you to have necessarily the frame of reference for Wisconsin football history because you didn't grow up in Wisconsin. Yeah. But we kind of debated it that this might be as talented a group as we've seen around here in a long time.
Yeah, especially when you talk about that potential, like you just mentioned. Like there's, yeah. there's a lot there.
Because it's not
there.
One or two guys.
No, not at all. I think every, like, there's people, like, a lot of people haven't even seen, you know, like, two guys I said that you really haven't seen a lot. I mean, AC, you've seen a little bit, but haven't seen him a whole lot. And then Jack and Adam, haven't really seen them either. Our younger guys, AJ Taj and all of them, they're coming, they're developing. And you can tell that there's potential there, too. But at the same time, like, we've got, I feel like we've got a good group, and you said it right. I don't know who all's there, but. Who all we have like to go against or compete against, but we've got a squad.
As a former returner yourself, did you feel like Aaron was due for one to break a long return like that?
Oh yeah, I knew it. There's been so many times where he's been like a shoestring tackle away from just breaking it, and you could feel it. You know he's been wanting one, and just to have him do it, I'm just like real proud of him. I'm so proud of him for being able to make that happen.
Being down on the sideline Saturday, it felt like his biggest emotion after that was relief. Like that he finally got. That's what it, just watching it, that's what it seemed like.
That's exactly what it was. It was, I got it. Now it's time to keep rolling. Right. Now, you know, it's one of those, yeah, we got it. Let's get it out the way. Everybody's happy. Everybody's, you know, congratulating him. But I know he's wanting more now. He's itching for more. And, you know, we know he can do it. He knows he can do it. And it's just about putting it on tape now.
So the flight home was a pretty happy flight home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you watching any other college football games on that flight home?
You know, we saw a little bit of the Minnesota-Iowa game, you know, watched a little bit of that. Pretty good outcome, pretty positive outcome. But I know what it means and all of that, but still we want to take it, you know, one day at a time and one game at a time because, you know, you start looking too far ahead, you might miss what's in front of you.
So
I think it's a practical question because we preach it all the time, but how do you avoid looking ahead? Because going into this month, it was, okay, here's four games. We got to win all four. But you can't win them four if you don't win the first one. How do you keep it in the moment?
Because innately, you start the season looking ahead.
Yeah.
Like before the season even starts, you'd like, we want to be a Big Ten champion. So you're always looking ahead, but how do you prevent? Yeah, how do you do that in the moment?
Yeah. Really what it is first off, we've been doing a lot of mindfulness since the spring, since winter conditioning. And we talk about, you know, being where your feet are. And we do a lot of practices to just be comfortable with, not comfortable, just to be where we are. And all of that really comes down to is just being in the moment. And if you're in the moment with everything you do, if you're in the moment when, like, meetings are going, if you're in the moment with walkthroughs, if you're in the moment, you can truly take advantage of everything that's going on in that moment. And then it just helps you better prepare. And then by the time the game time comes, you're in the moment for that. And it's really just about being in the moment and being in the present and just not letting your mind get distracted or carried away into that next moment that you're not even in at the time.
In for four, hole for five, out for six, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's it, really.
We did that with JT was walking us through some breathing exercise.
He coached us up a little bit. Uh-huh, yeah, it was good. So you just sit back on Sunday. You're wearing your Chiefs sweatshirt today. I know you're from Kansas City. Do you sit back and become a football fan on Sunday a little bit?
Honestly, no.
No?
I don't. I'm more of a guy that likes the highlights of the games, maybe. I can't sit down that long and watch a football game, which is crazy. Like, I don't know what it is.
Unless you're in it, I guess.
I'm in it. If I'm in it, I'm good. If I'm watching good. Film, yeah, I'm good. But I can't just watch it, you know? I'm more of a movie guy, honestly.
Not just watching movies for you. I mean, you've now delved into the idea of making movies.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through a little bit of how you got into or developed this passion you have for filmmaking?
Yeah. It all started, I mean, kind of in college when you realize what you don't like. I realized very quickly that I didn't like math and I didn't like statistics or anything like that. So it only made sense not to be in personal finance. So I switched that major to communication arts. And honestly, when I first came in, I didn't know that there was a film, TV, and radio option. And that's what, you know, I switched into. And ever since then, I've loved it. We've been working on, I had a media production class where I had to, you know, it was like our first making a film. We made a short film. I got to act in some films, which is, I love that. And then I got to make my own and direct that, which was really fun as well. And I don't know. I think that's something I want to get into. I know that's something I want to get into.
Okay, so you directed a film. What was it called? Like, what was it about?
Yeah, so the film I had directed was called Perfectly Imperfect. And what we had to do, we had to make a drama. And it had to be something. Okay, we had to make a drama film. And my film was about, you know, it was about a girl who was who had HIV. And she had a boyfriend that wanted to take their relationship to the next level, but she was torn between, you know, telling him the truth, lying to him, or just trying to walk away completely. And that's kind of what the film was about. And it was really mostly about how I shot it, but I wanted to have kind of a, you know, a juicy story too.
Who wrote this?
Yeah.
Who came up with this idea?
Is
you?
Me, yeah.
Where does this come from? A lot of stuff's based on personal. People write, they often write from personal experiences, but I don't want to get too.
No, you're good. That's not too personal for me. What I was thinking about doing was I wanted to make a film about, like, with the main character as a girl for the first part, because, you know, there's so many male main characters, so I wanted to, like, have a female, and I knew that it was going to be tough to do a lot of different things, so I made it more relationship-based, but I didn't want it to be just a basic, why don't you like me, or, like, what's wrong, like, I don't know, I didn't want it to make it basic and something average that everybody sees every day, so I was, like, asking friends, like, what's the reason you would tell what's the reason you wouldn't tell a guy that you didn't want to talk to him, if that makes sense? And they would say, maybe she's sick, maybe she's this, maybe she's this. And okay. Then that's when the idea spurred across me, you know?
Wow. So do you like being in front of the camera more or behind the camera?
In front of the camera, probably. Because I feel like there's so much more, like, creativity that you can do when you're, like, doing some acting. Like, you can grab a bottle or you can improvise a lot more. But I also like the whole writing aspect too. Oh. Not gonna lie. So I like them both. I like writing because you can be as creative as you want to be. And then, you know, the acting because.
Okay. So you acted in somebody else's film. So what was that one about?
Yeah. His name's Jack Sykes and it was called At the Shore. And when it was about these two guys, these two buddies, and one buddy, he's always getting into trouble. And the other guy, the good guy, me, was always kind of saving him from that trouble. And one night, my friend, he brings home a dead body. And we're I'm confused. And I'm like, so why did you bring him here? And all of that stuff's about him bringing that dead body and what we do and how I try to, like, save him. I try to cover him a little bit. But at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, you got to do something about this and you got to go. And the dead body happens to be his ex-wife's affair, like guy that she had an affair with. So he ended up killing him, but he didn't tell me that. He told me that he was drunk and he just killed somebody, but it was actually that guy. I don't know. There was just so much to it. There was so much complexity to it.
We're getting some heavy
this
time.
Yeah,
no, it's serious. No, it's drama. Like, that's what we were talking about. It's real stuff, but not real stuff, but it's really serious topics, and
I got so many questions.
Did it well.
Yeah, so
I got so many questions.
Yeah, how long are these films you're making?
Like 10 minutes.
Okay,
so it's like 10 minute films
for the shorter attention span. Like the guy who can't make it through a football game. That's good.
Can't make it through. Yeah. Yes, easy.
Are these? Can we see these? Or are these just?
Well, mine is on my Instagram. Mine is like my film. The one that I filmed is on my Instagram. It's on my bio. I don't think
what's your Instagram handle?
My Instagram is forward_._.
Okay.
Yeah. The number 4 and then word, WARD, _._.
There you go. All
right.
Yeah.
Who do you draw inspiration from? Like, who in film and in writing and in acting, and who do you like? Who are some names you follow?
Some names that, like, when it comes to like writing and all of that, I just want to be like me. You know,
okay.
I really like Jordan Peele, if we're being honest. Like, I love what he's doing with everything.
Provocative, right?
Yeah. Him and, like, then we come to like Tyler Perry. I like people that are, it's really comes to like being black and
sure.
being a black man in America. Yeah. And just all of that. And then I like independent film, not all independent films, but I like the idea that independent films use different characters as their like leads. They'll like use a female, they'll use a black female, they'll use an Asian, they'll use like anybody and make a great film out of that. So I like stuff like that. But when it comes to just like actors, my favorite was, he died, Heath Ledger.
Oh, sure.
He's the reason I really wanted to get into film was when he acted in the Joker, The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And then he was the Joker in that. That was just phenomenal. That was like great method acting. And then you can come to like Leonardo DiCaprio, who's just insane. He's a great actor as well. Will Smith, Samuel Jackson, just all the like the main people.
Did you do theater or any acting classes, or have you done any of that?
You know, I've been trying.
Do you go to theater here or like in Madison?
Well, so no, honestly, I just watch the plays here and try to get a little bit of inspiration from that. But I've been trying to get into the acting class here, but I couldn't because since I switched my major, I had to get a lot of courses done for communication arts. So I really just do the acting for the films here, the short films that people make. That's my.
You're talking about inspiration from people that have really sort of expanded and reshaped complete genres. Yeah. Like, are you thinking about, you're not trying to just fit a mold. It sounds like you're trying to kind of trailblaze and do something completely different.
For sure. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to make a change too. I want to be a part of a change, you know? Like the movie Black Panther, you know, seeing a black hero, like even though he was African, I'd really love to see an African American, you know, like black man in like in America hero type guy, but like Hancock, but you know, that was no. But you kinda get what I'm saying.
That wasn't
like,
the one?
I don't think that was it. But just like things like that. I wanna be able to help, you know, trailblaze and start something new.
So hopefully you play football for a long time, right? Yeah. Hopefully you get paid to play football for a while. Mm-hmm. So whenever that career is finished, what would be dream scenario for you? Living and working in L.A.?
Yeah. That's,
writing, acting, directing?
Yeah. The dream scenario is probably play football, get a, you know, a great jump start to life. And before I get hurt or crazily injured, you know, get out to L.A. and start the acting. And then get into acting because it takes a while. You don't just hop into acting. You got to learn. There's a craft. There's an art to it. So I want to learn that, and then I want to get into, more writing and more behind the scenes. But for sure, first off, I want to start off at acting.
Okay, I'm having flashbacks now to seeing your film. And was that the one that Isaiah Loudermilk was in?
That was one of them. That was Griff Grady's. So I acted in two guys' films. I didn't say that. That was Griffin Grady's. And that his was about a basketball player. But that's one of them. Yeah, that was a fun
so
one.
So are you pulling other guys into this with you? Like finding that it's something they're interested in too?
I don't know about if Isaiah was interested or Adam Krumholtz. I don't know how it. I think they started off interested in the idea, but once it got rolling, they're like, "Huh, I don't know, we'll see." But I think Isaiah might have liked it. Isaiah, maybe Christian Volpentesta, they might have liked it. But I think once you see that it's really not as crazy and it's not as weird and it's not as bad as people think, the people start to like, "I want to do that." You know, Chris Orr, every time, "When you gonna let me get in the film?" He just asked me that in the shower.
I can't imagine.
There's a camera involved,
that.
Of course.
Yeah,
Chris
just
wants
said
in.
That. I was
yeah.
like, "Have you had any background experience?" He was like, "Interviews." And so I was like, "Okay."
He's been on this podcast twice. That has to count. That has to
count
for
count
something.
Yeah.
So the Wisconsin Alumni Network is humongous, right? And there's people doing every walk of life, but there are many in the Hollywood industry. I don't know if they listen to this podcast or not, but Kelly Call is a name. You ever heard of that name?
I haven't.
Huge Badger fan, Wisconsin alum. He is the executive vice president of entertainment at CBS.
Wow.
That's a guy we got to get you.
Yeah, that's a guy I need to get in contact with.
We might have to tweet at him and say, "Hey, check out this podcast, and then we got your next superstar."
Yeah. Let him know.
So not to, because we talk about being where your feet are, but so not to look too far down the road, but we've kind of got your plan for after football set up a little bit. But what about this week and what's coming up with Senior Day? Have you given thought to kind of the end of the road coming here to your college football days?
Yeah, I've given a little bit of thought. You know, I think I'm going to go through a lot of emotions, but I don't know if I'm really going to feel it and feel the impact on it until probably a week or two after the game when I realize, like, there's no more games at Camp Randall and it's over, you know? But I think at like at this moment now, I just want to, you know, again, Biri Fidar, and I just want to enjoy that moment. When I'm in that moment, when I'm there Saturday, I just want to enjoy it. I want to have fun. I want to soak it all in. And I think that's going to be the best way to really, like, live that experience.
Okay. I was in the locker room Monday morning, already heard guys talking about it, the seniors, the in-towner, and the Friday meal, mm-hmm. and that this would be the last time going through that. Is that part of what you're going to miss? Yeah. It's funny how that's kind of got this mystique about it.
You know what? That's one thing I have not thought about. And that just made me a little sad thinking about no more cordon bleu or pasta. Yeah, that's going to suck. That's going to be bad. I honestly haven't thought about that at all. But when you said it.
Okay, sorry. Sorry to bring you down.
That was kind of disheartening. Yeah.
What about, are you a clam chowder guy? Because that's sort of the legendary thing.
Yeah, no, I'm actually not. I don't know why I like the chicken cordon bleu so much, but it's a game changer for me. It's weird.
So what happens at the end? Why is that special? What happens there? Like what is that for the team?
Honestly,
what does that symbolize?
You know, I think that's a good like bonding time for a lot of guys. If we're being real, you know, so the
this
food's
is,
good.
This is the night before home games.
Yeah. Yep.
The team stays together at the in-towner. Mm-hmm. Why do you stay in a hotel the night before home games? I mean, I know the answer, but
We stay in so nobody does anything stupid
sure.
and can't play the next day or doesn't get their sleep or we might got a couple knuckleheads on the team that would. That wouldn't take advantage of that opportunity. But it's really just
so we can... Our kids, after all, they're college kids. We understand.
We can get together and we can really just relax and kind of focus in before the game. But I think it's important because, like, it's a good, like I said, it's a good bonding time for the guys. Everybody kind of, you know, everybody has their thing. You know, the receivers, that ish game, I don't know if anybody said it. We'll play that. And it's like we go around the circle and whoever can beat everybody, like, with one hit... then you win the belt. We have a belt. We don't have a belt, imaginary belt, but, like, you win. And then, you know, that guy's feeling good. But then it's also time for us to, like, we can just talk in our rooms and stuff. It's real cool.
Are you a guy who, do, like, your parents come to the hotel and you like to spend some time with them?
Yeah.
Or are you a guy who, like, I want to zone, you know, lock in and get in the zone? Or where do you fall in that? Because guys do their own thing. Like
guys do their own thing for sure. And, no, I'm really, like, I'm big with family. Like, I love when people come to support me and things like that. So, if they come, I'm definitely going to talk to them and hang out with them.
If they were going to bring barbecue from one restaurant in Kansas City, what would you say, please bring this?
See, that's a tough question.
This topic is near and dear to my heart.
The one place I'd be like, please bring this.
It's hard to get down to one.
But here's the thing. I've been to Gates so many times that I know what a Gates tastes like. But Jack Stack just, they came back and...
Yes.
And Jack Stack, I'd have them bring some barbecue. Oh, wait a second. Q39. I take it back.
Ooh, yes.
Okay.
I do Q39.
LCs.
For those of us who.
Oklahoma Joe's. Now it's Joe's KC.
For those of us who have not spent extended periods of time in Kansas City, like the two of you, what is Kansas City barbecue? Like, how do you define it?
It's just the best barbecue in the nation.
But why? that's not the
because,
definition.
Okay, well.
Because every region's
kind of barbecue,
got their own
what kind
thing,
of barbecue?
Right?
But here's the thing. Every region's got their own thing, but our region has everything, you know? We've got, what do you want? Like a rub? Do you want a wet rub, or do you want
sweet sauce? Yeah. Mm-hmm,
like, or whatever you want. You can have a dry rub, wet rub, whatever you want. And it's going to be delicious. You want fall off the bone? We can find it. You want chicken? You want pulled pork? You want, I don't know. It just, we have it all.
This segment brought to you by the Kansas City Pork Distributors. No, but he's right. He is right. Kansas City.
Really? You it's like spicy? The, you like sweet?
So it's like the American crossroads of barbecue.
That's it. In fact, they have a barbecue competition called the American Royale because it is the heartland of American barbecue.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
So like Memphis, North Carolina,
they do have American,
all that stuff?
Yeah, right. So there's Carolina style, there's Texas style, and Kansas City. Yeah, I would say it's like a melting pot of everything. It's like the best of all of them come together, right? Okay. All right, what's the last thing that's going to go through your mind as you run out that tunnel for senior day?
The last thing that's going to go through my mind is probably just don't think too much and have fun. That's probably the only thing that's going to run through my mind. But that's really going to be, that's it. You know, just don't think too much about this moment because it is the last one. And because if I do that, I'm going to press. I'm going to want too hard to make something happen. But if I just have fun and relax and enjoy it, we'll be good.
Well, we've been having fun watching this season, man.
Appreciate that.
Good luck this Saturday and the rest of the season.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, AJ.
AJ Taylor, fascinating conversation. I think it was unclear what his Instagram handle is, so I want to repeat it so people can actually find this movie and check out his acting and directing and producing. His Instagram account is the number 4 WARD underscore dot underscore. 4 WARD underscore dot underscore. We need to help him with his Instagram.
That seems like it would pass like the high password strength. Like you punch in as a password in Google and be like, yes, this is a good one.
Yes, it's difficult to find. I'll say that. All right, what else is happening in Wisconsin athletics? The number 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, a women's soccer team, kept their season alive with a 1-0 win over Milwaukee last weekend here in Madison. Now they're going to play Duke out in Los Angeles. UCLA is hosting that. They'll take them on Friday at 7 p.m. It's their 4th straight season that they made the second round, so shouts to that team. If they beat Duke, they will play the winner of UCLA and Clemson. They already played UCLA earlier this year, so there could be a rematch of that one. They lost that game, but it was close, a 1-0 game. So good luck to the Paula Wilkins and the ladies. Volleyball has 2 games at the Fieldhouse this weekend, the final 2 games at the Fieldhouse, final regular season games, I should say. Hopefully we're going to have some NCAA tournament action. They've got Iowa on Friday and then number 6 Nebraska on Sunday. Don't think the Cornhuskers and their corn curtains aren't going to be coming up here looking for revenge because Wisconsin swept them down in Lincoln earlier this season. And a lot could be at stake in this one. If Wisconsin beats Iowa on Friday, they might have a chance to clinch the Big Ten championship on Sunday. Get to the Fieldhouse for that one. It's going to be awesome.
And it's already championship season for cross country. Both teams ranked in the top 10. You've got the 7th ranked women and the 9th ranked men. They're going to head to Terre Haute, Indiana for the NCAA championships. Both qualified as teams in addition to their individuals. And then you've got men's hockey. Speaking of the Gophers, we were talking about the border battle earlier with football. It's here for hockey this week. Coming off that series where they handed Notre Dame the first loss of the year, they've got the Gophers. Friday and Saturday, both games will be on Fox Sports Wisconsin. So tune into that.
Also coming to the Kohl Center apparently is JoJo Siwa. Whatever that is.
What's a JoJo Siwa?
She is a musician apparently, but she's coming to the Kohl Center. It was announced April 21st. I thought you'd be all over this. You've got a daughter. Aren't you going to be taking your daughter to the JoJo Siwa concert?
Maybe I'll find some free tickets. Unless we get fired.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Badgers. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your preferred podcast platform. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.